radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's the Paul Gallant Show.
Pauly G Show. He's the best in Houston.
Houston's most interactive sports talk show.
Hey, how's it going, Paul?
Paul, what's good, my man?
How you doing, Paul?
What are you doing, Paul?
Join the conversation by dialing or texting 713-780-3776.
I love the show. Y'all keep it up.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
You are definitely living in the hindsight world today, Paul.
That ball's hit pretty well to left. Owner's trouble. Watch this one go! Altuve with his third home run of the homestand. And hit number 10 in this same homestand. He makes it 5-0 Astros.
Let me rephrase. 251 hits now in 189 games as Altuve does it again, having himself a homestand.
Altuve is on a roll. He had another home run a little bit later in a four-hit performance. So you like seeing that. I came out of the closet earlier in today's show. No, as a person who appreciates a 11-1 win by the Astros. I like when the Astros beat the other team by 10 runs. That's my favorite kind of Astros baseball. Pitcher's duels, pass. Dramatic games, pass. I want the game done in the fifth inning so I can go and do something else. Especially if they're playing a team that's literally homeless. The Athletics are the ultimate slump buster, always have been for the Astros, and I appreciate them. And sure, beating up on the homeless, frowned upon, right? You don't punch down, but I'm cool with the Astros doing it. So we'll see if the Astros can keep this offense going this afternoon. They wrap up this two-game set against the A's with Lance McCullers on the hill in a matter of moments. The bad news for the Astros today, and we talked about this earlier, is that Ronel Blanco will have surgery on his right elbow and miss the remainder of the 2025 season. He was on the injured list last week with inflammation in his elbow. He looked to get a second opinion after, I think, a rather rough beginning to the season and a bad spring training. He was rounding into form. He joins Hayden Wisniewski as an Astros pitcher on the opening day rotation that needs season-ending Tommy John surgery. Spencer Arrighetti still out. Luis Garcia, Christian Javier recovering from Tommy John surgery. Lance McCullers finally back out from Tommy John surgery. I mean, if we're looking for the bright side here, the Astros bullpen has been nailed, but now you are going to have to ask more from them because it's unfair to expect the many Astros pitchers that they're throwing out there because they have to. Ryan, what's his name? Jeez. Ryan Gusto, Colton Gordon, and the other guy,
Brandon Walter.
Brandon Walter. Thanks, Sean. Sorry, it's tough. There's too many names. There's too many injuries. You're asking a lot out of those guys, which means you're going to be asking a whole lot out of the bullpen. The Astros offense better get it together because who knows when Yordan Alvarez is going to come back. Really, right now, the offense is going to have to power them for a couple of weeks. You've already put, I think, too much of a workload on the bullpen. So this is what the Astros are and are going to have to be probably until late July. And we'll see. That's all I can say. Interesting news today in the National Football League involving an ex-Houston Texan. Stephon Diggs, remember him? Solid first half of the season. I don't think the Texans offense quite lived up to the hype that an offense with C.J. Stroud and Nico Collins and Tank Dell and Stephon Diggs was expected to do. Well, they could have 3,000-yard wide receivers. But, I mean, obviously some injury complications. Stephon Diggs tore his ACL halfway through the year, and then Tank Dell had that awful thing happen to his knee later in the season. But Stephon Diggs is now a member of the New England Patriots. And Stephon Diggs is probably, of all the players on the New England Patriots, the guy that has the most unfair expectations on him. The Patriots haven't had a good wide receiver in a really long time. So this isn't great. This little tidbit. Stephon Diggs was not present for Wednesday's voluntary organized team activity. It's the offseason, right? It's voluntary. Not a big deal that he's not there, but when you're Mike Vrabel, the new head coach of the New England Patriots, and you're trying to reinstill a sense of order and responsibility, it does not help that a video of Stephon Diggs went viral where he's on a boat flashing an unidentified pink substance while surrounded by three women. Mike Vrabel was asked about this afternoon before practice, if the video is something the team needs to look into. Here's what he said, quote, "It's something we're aware of, and obviously we want to make great decisions on and off the field. Any conversations that I've had with Stephon will remain between him and I and the club." He confirmed he's been in communication with Diggs, and the NFL declined comment. Now, listen, I don't know much about much. You know, I'm just a simple sports talk show host. I am not as cool as Stephon Diggs, a person that went viral a few years ago because every single one of his Minnesota Vikings teammates were of the belief that he would be the worst person possible to date your sister. Seems like he has himself a good old time.
I'm a great guy.
That's Stephon Diggs.
I'm actually a great guy.
That's Stephon Diggs at the end of that video after every single one of his teammates said, "I don't want my sister dating Diggs."
Would nobody want me to date his sister?
I thought was dating Cardi B. I thought. But hey, maybe they're just having some fun. But he's on this boat. There's three women. Two of them I feel like he would be interested in. One of them, not so much. Back off, lady.
We invite you because you're friends with the other ones.
Back off, lady. I was the one who held on to the powder the longest, or substance, whatever it was.
Pink substance.
She might have been on the boat because she was able to bring the substance. Because I doesn't seem like Stephon Diggs' type. Let's just say that. But Diggs has the bag of the pink substance in his hand for a moment, and then this woman walks away with it. Who is the bitch that decided to record this? Honestly, who's the a-hole that's on this boat that she probably cannot afford recording a video of a NFL wide receiver with a bag of pink powder in his hand? Yeah, I'm going to call her a bitch. What a stupid bitch. This is not me defending Stephon Diggs or the use of drugs. I'm just saying, why would you post this? Why would you send this around? Are you trying to get some money from TMZ or something like that? Absolutely terrible. I don't know what it is.
I don't think it's from TMZ, because normally TMZ has like the watermark on the video.
That's true. She didn't even make money off of it. She just posted this.
Crystal clear. Let me make sure I don't have my sound on while you.
I don't think it's pink nerds. I don't think that it's candy, okay?
Fun dip?
I don't think it's fun dip.
Okay.
It could be perhaps used as fun dip, like certain substances.
Very, very fun dip.
I'm told. Yeah. Very fun dip. Yes, Sean. It could be very fun dip. This is one of those things where you got to trust the people around you. And if you're a high-profile player, it sucks to have somebody that's just leaking out things that you might not have actually taken. Because I bet he's going to get tested by the NFL. He's going to get a drug test. And he might be facing some sort of suspension for substances of abuse.
I mean,
we don't know that he took it, but he's definitely going to get tested now. What, the NFL's not going to? They're not going to do that?
Yeah, especially because he's on the Patriots. You know, they're still trying to...
He'll probably get suspended a year. He'll probably get suspended a year.
He'll get suspended more than Tom Brady.
Definitely get suspended longer than Ben Roethlisberger, which is always the one that I bring up. So, listen, Stephon Diggs, he was a good teammate when he was here. He's having some fun this offseason. Probably should be at the voluntary OTAs with a new head coach and a young quarterback. But I imagine he's going to end up getting a drug test in the very near future. And whoever shared this video sucks. You just suck. You know, I'm not defending Stephon Diggs here, but I am of the belief that if you want to take something, assuming that you've dotted your I's, crossed your T's, go ahead and do it, okay? That's how I am. Not my business at all. But now it's everyone's business because this person posted the video of it.
Can't have fun on Memorial Day weekend anymore.
Yeah. Stephon probably does have to tone it down a little bit, I will say.
He was at a lot of NBA games. He was out and about a lot.
He's having himself a good old time. Credit to him. He's got a ton of money.
It is the offseason.
And he does seem to keep everything, for the most part, away from very messiness. You know, he's there's no Tyreek Hill. There's no Antonio Brown situations going on.
Okay. Yes. I'll agree with that.
But, yeah, Might be time for smaller get-togethers and a closer circle.
Or what's the those bags that comedians do at their stand-up shows?
Ooh, so zip up the phone.
Yeah, when you go on the boat, like, hey, I'll have a phone guy. You just have to turn in your phone to get on the boat. Maybe that's what we do going forward, Stephon. I'll even volunteer to be the boat guy or the phone guy on the boat. I'll just give it. Put in a baggie with your name on it. You'll get it when we dock. All right.
I'm with you there. But these, you know, if you're one of these Insta thoughts.
Yeah. No.
And yeah. I am going to judge. You got to show that you're on the boat. You're in high demand. You know, you're trying to make it so that your demand goes up because it seems like there is a heavy supply in demand of you. And you know, you're flaunting what you've got. I'm on a boat. I'm a rich pepper. I have a time. Like, this is just what everyone is these days.
And the chick who takes the bag from Stephon Diggs.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. She's so greedy when she takes it, too. She's like, that's mine.
Snatches it from him.
No. I mean, so, listen. Sorry to be mean again. There is a chance it is food, just given who took it from her. What, Sean? She's fat. Like, what? Let's be honest here. She is.
Yes, and normally people on the powdery substances aren't of that.
She's just
ilk.
It's just pink powdered sugar. No, Keith from LA, it's not that. I don't even know what that is. What is Molly? What is that?
No, I don't know the names of any of these
it's
women.
It's not a woman in a bag.
Yeah, I don't know any of these women.
It's
all right?
Not an Irish.
I don't know their name.
Yeah, Molly. Like, what are we talking about here? Anyway, it is the Paul Gulat Show. ESPN 97.5, 92.5 on YouTube at ESPN Houston, on Twitch at ESPN 97.5. I stand behind Stephon Diggs.
I 100% stand with.
It's Stephon. Not just because I'm a Patriots fan. He is an ex-Texan. He's a Texan legend.
He is a Texan legend.
Sean Mapes behind the glass. All right, coming up next, we've reached a new era of sports talk, and I think I'm here for it, but wow, the revolution has been a very, very, very bloody one in the last couple of days. What is that? You'll hear it. Stay put.
Do you have the ESPN Houston app? Download it now in your app store.
It's the Paul Gallant Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
Most interactive sports talk show in town. Are you guys ready? Are you guys ready for the new era of sports talk? We are in the apology era. Yeah. So, a very insufferable WNBA story that had nothing to do with basketball has officially concluded, unless Ryan Clark's posted another video about it. Remember that there was an investigation that was being done by the WNBA and the Indiana Fever into a fan who was allegedly making monkey noises as Angel Reese was shooting free throws, except for it turns out that this fan was doing the same kind of laugh that some random streamer's doing. Well, the WNBA brought a lot of heat on themselves because the WNBA and the Fever put out a statement saying we are investigating claims of racism at a game. We have a zero tolerance policy, blah, blah, blah. And everyone was out there with takes on it because no one wants to talk about the actual WNBA basketball. They all want to grift off the race war that, unfortunately, poor Caitlin Clark and poor Angel Reese happened to be at the center of through no fault of their own. I feel bad for both of them. Both of them. It sucks for them. This is stupid. This discourse is stupid. So then the WNBA and the Indiana Fever put out a statement yesterday after their investigation. And guess what? It turns out they could not corroborate the claims of racist fan behavior. WNBA said, we've investigated the report based on information gathered to date, including from relevant fans, team, and arena staff, as well as audio and review of the game. We have not substantiated it. The Indiana Fever also put out a statement in response to the WNBA's recently concluded investigation. We appreciate the swift and thorough process undertaken by the WNBA to substantiate these allegations, which were not substantiated. At Gainbridge Fieldhouse, we are committed to providing the best possible basketball experience for players and fans where hate speech has absolutely no place. Blah, 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 blah. They should never have announced anything. It was all based off of a hoax online. And in doing the investigations and in putting the statements out before actually doing some research into this incident, they put Caitlin Clark in a bad spot where she had to condone something that didn't happen. She put Caitlin Clark's fans in a bad spot. And they put Angel Reese in a bad spot because Angel Reese didn't even ask for this. She was asked about it after the game. She said, I don't know, essentially. And look, I think that Reese has often come off as an a-hole and is perhaps one of the reasons that she gets so much backlash is because of this seeming desire to be the villain, but not all the time the villain. A villain who wants to be liked. It doesn't really work out. Ask LeBron James when he first joined the Miami Heat. Like, she's brought some of this on herself. However, like, didn't bring this on herself. But it led to all sorts of takes. And guess what? We're seeing all sorts of apologies. This is the era of sports talk that we're in. The apology era. You know, whether it was Ryan Clark's 33 videos over the weekend where he was apologizing with six or seven different camera angles on him, looking like he was about to cry, or this apology. This came courtesy of ESPN's Shanae Ogwumeke, who had this to say after those statements that said, yeah, nothing really happened that we could substantiate, came out from both the WNBA and the Fever.
Hey, everybody. I'm sure you've seen the WNBA statement on the investigation. And I want to address this with the same energy I did the first time, because if you really know me, I always try my absolute best to uplift the WNBA, to celebrate the amazing players, the coaches, and of course the fans. That is something that is at the core of everything that I do. But if you know me, you know I'm not afraid to say I can do better. I am sorry that my message was in the heat of the moment, because when I initially spoke on the topic, it really came from a place of care. It was based on firsthand conversations with people very close to the situation who raised real concerns, and they told me what they had experienced. And I felt like it was important and it was necessary to acknowledge those allegations and also voice those experiences. Now, in the process, however,
oh my God,
I totally recognize that it may have impacted fans in a way that I did not intend, and I am sorry. I'm also happy that the WNBA treated the matter with the utmost seriousness, followed through with the investigation, and I understand that having a platform comes with a responsibility, and I do not take that lightly.
This is sports talk. She doesn't take it lightly. This is what sports talk is going to be, guys. This is the summer of the apology. I mean, we're going to see some more. We've seen some bad takes out there over the last couple of days. And Kendrick Perkins, like, it really seems like he's asking for an opportunity to have a public apology. We talked about these comments yesterday. Here is what Kendrick Perkins had to say about Anthony Edwards not living up to the billing as a superstar and what he needs to do to, I guess, figure it out.
Here's the bigger picture, right? You got to check the boxes when you're the face of the league. Yes, we know you got to have your signature shoe. You're going to be in commercials. You're going to have the highlights. You got to have the game. But you know what else you got to have? You got to be a role model, right? And things outside the lines matter. Now, if you go down the list of all the faces of the league in the history of the game, you look at Larry Bird, Magic Johnson, Michael Jordan, Kobe Bryant, Shaq, LeBron, Steph, what did they all have in common? While they was playing in the league, they all were family men. They all were married with kids. And if you think that don't play a role as far as the role model, this is facts. This is not something that I'm making.
I mean, so stupid, right? I mean, Magic Johnson, family man. Kobe Bryant, family man. Michael Jordan, family man. I have no judgment on any of those things, but you're saying, oh, Anthony Edwards, he needs to hunker down.
He's also 23 years old.
Right. So on. He has a kid. Like, he needs to hunker down. So get this. I was wondering if there would be an apology for this. And guess what? There was. Kendrick Perkins apologized. He posted this on X less than an hour ago. Anthony Edwards is one of my favorite players in the league, if not my favorite player. I apologize privately, so I'm apologizing publicly to the young king for my comments on First Take yesterday. My bad, young fella. I was not taking a personal shot at you, but I could see how it could have been taken that way. And he doesn't tag him in it at all. Everyone is apologizing now. This is what sports talk radio is. It's apologizing. It's you say something because you were talking out of your ass. You're trying to blow up and get aggregated, and then you're apologizing. This is what it is. This is all I've seen for the last 3 days. This, every day I go on X, up, Ryan Clark apologized for something, and he's just milking it. You know, he's just squeezing those you-know-whats, those udders. He's going and going and going. I got to apologize. I got to build my brand by apologizing. What are we doing? Is this all we're doing? Just apologizing? It's hilarious, but it's sad. I remember when people in sports talk had balls. Now we're apologizing for everything, and the corporate overlords are making people apologize for everything. It's pathetic and sad. People are trying to get attention, then they get attention, and then, oh, I'm sorry for what I said. I'm sorry for the thing that I did on the internet that people got mad at me for. I'm sorry about that. At least Ryan Clark was only half-assed apologizing, you know? He was also, like, saying along the way, like, but, like, Robert Griffin III is a dumbass. Like, he was implying it heavily.
I stand by what I said, right. But like, I apologize.
Like, listen, I shouldn't have said his wife can't weigh in, I shouldn't have said that he can't weigh in on this because his wife is white. By the way, here's my biracial child. Weird. Just bring it up. Here are all my family member names as well, so you can look them up online and come after them, you troll sons of biscuits. It's hilarious. This is what we're at. So maybe this is what we got to do going forward. This is the summer of the apology. Every single day, we've got to find something to apologize for. Write it down. I've seen enough of it over the last couple of days where I am just getting a bit of a pants tent over it. I think it's hilarious. How are there this many apologies for stupid stuff? All of this, the apology from Chinyo Gwikame and Ryan Clark's 300,000 apologies, these all came from Caitlin Clark shoving Angel Reese a little hard. A little hard. That's where it all came from. And everyone's apologizing left and right and right and left. I'm here for it. Ironically, yes, but I'm here for it. This is the summer of the apology. This is the apology era of sports talk radio. What were the eras in the WWE, WWF? Like the no-holds-bar era or what? That's where we're at with sports talk radio now, the apology era. It sounds like a Taylor Swift album, for Christ's sakes. I'm here for it. I'm here for it. So tell me what I got to apologize for. 713-780-3776 to call to text in on YouTube at ESPN Houston, on Twitch at ESPN 975. We are the most interactive sports talk show in Houston, and I'm going to show my versatility during the summer of apology. I will apologize for things that I don't even need to apologize for. Just challenge me to apologize for something. We are going to be Catholic Guilt Radio, baby. Stick around. It's the Paul Gallant Show.
ESPN. 97.5.
We're ready for some football, baby.
Dad, hush.
Tackling the biggest news in the NFL.
This just in.
With Paul Gallant. The 10-minute drill starts now.
Football time. By the way, challenge me to apologize for something, and I will.
A bunch of people immediately texted in, Paul, can you apologize for talking about the WNBA? I am sorry. I'm using the WNBA to make a larger point that everyone is apologizing for everything in sports talk these days. And it's kind of funny, but that is correct. And you know my opinion on the WNBA. It's actually physical, but I have no interest in watching it, especially because all of the discourse about watching it is the most insufferable BS ever. It's grifters to the right, grifters to the left, white grifters, black grifters. It's just effing awful, and the sport's not good enough to make me able to watch it and put all of that crap to the side, further to the side. So I apologize for talking about it as long as I did. Some people said it was like it was two segments. No, I'm just saying everyone's apologizing. Ryan Clark's podcast apologized for something else, by the way. They apologized for something, I guess, they said about Bill Belichick. I know. I actually watched it and listened to it. This is 10-Minute Drill. It's sort of NFL related. I have no idea what they were apologizing for. I guess they might have made a joke about Bill Belichick and his girlfriend who's 50 years younger than him. And you know what? Guys, that's a bounce. You don't need to apologize for it. It is funny. Bill doesn't care, but it is funny. It's 50 years. Good God.
Yeah.
I'm not even judging. It's just, whoa, Bill Belichick. He's dating a 24-year-old who might be crazy.
And Ryan Clark was on one of the NFL talk shows. I forgot what it was called, but the one with Chad Johnson and Chris Long last season that also had Bill Belichick on it.
Yes.
And he
showed up in whiteface once.
Oh, yeah.
And apparently they had this apology. They were apologizing for something, and they started talking about like when whiteface is allowed, when Drewski does it, and when blackface is allowed, which is when Robert Downey Jr. does it.
Yeah, basically do it well.
Yeah.
It's the gist.
But apparently they were apologizing to Bill Belichick before they got into a conversation of when blackface and whiteface are allowed. And they don't have a problem with blackface, it seems like. The pivoting in a different direction.
Yeah, it's just a whole bunch, and it's the same thing with Perk, it's the same thing with all the First Take. Everyone on First Take, except for Stephen A. Smith
is the only person who never apologizes, although I think he's apologized.
Yeah, he walks stuff back, but normally he does that on his sideshow that he does.
Yes.
Where he's running for office, basically.
I apologize for not being your president.
Yeah, exactly. I apologize for not primarying last year.
I apologize for not beating Kamala Harris.
It's all just like this race to say the most like extreme eyeball catching thing, and it's like when you do that, you're going to overstep, and then when you work for ESPN or you work for a major company or you know you're Ryan Clark, then like you're going to have to walk it back.
Yeah. Well, do you think let's stick with the apologies? Do you think that Terry Bradshaw, Steelers legend, NFL on Fox analyst? Do you think that he's going to apologize for these comments that he made on a radio station in Arkansas?
What do you think about possibly Aaron Rodgers being the quarterback? That's a joke. That is just, to me, is a joke. What are you going to bring him in for 1 year? Are you kidding me? I mean,
that's not the Steelers' way, right?
No, man, that guy needs to stay in California and go,
thank
go
you.
Somewhere and,
thank
and
you.
Chew on bark and... and whisper to the gods out there.
100%. These guys on the show, Mr. Bradshaw, know I'm not a fan of his. We've been around each other personally, and he was not a kind person.
He does not. I had to go over and introduce myself to him. He's not. I had to go, hey, Aaron, I'm Terry Bradshaw. I know he knows me, but I just felt like I better tell him who I am.
Yeah.
And not, you know, you walk in there and you get in his presence and you feel like it's going to start snowing.
I like the laugh track they got on that show.
Yeah, and the bell.
The bell, too.
This is a great show. Terry Bradshaw has nothing to apologize for. I think if you are Terry Bradshaw and you're making appearances on, apparently in person, or at least it sounded like in person, in Arkansas sports radio, I think that's international waters. You can say, Terry Bradshaw can say whatever he wants on sports radio.
Yeah.
Especially the smaller the market.
He's like a poor man's Charles Barkley, who also doesn't have to apologize for anything ever.
No. Yes. I mean, or, yes, I agree with
you. He's been dumping on San Antonio for two decades. And
yes, he calls
down.
Him fat.
Yeah.
He gets
he calls
on nas-
fat people.
He gets on national TV and says they eat churros and they're fat women.
Big old women in San Antonio. Right. I mean, he goes after that. He dumps on Galveston as a beach, which, by the way, totally fair in my book. And by the way, I'm with you, Sean. I hope Terry Bradshaw doesn't apologize for this. I think that Aaron Rodgers, honestly, might have to apologize to the city of New Orleans. He was on some podcast called the I Don't Care with Mike Studd. And I'm just kidding. It's Mike Studd. Mike Studd's more famous than me. I've never heard of him. Whatever. He's getting Aaron Rodgers on. This is a live podcast where they're taking questions from the crowd. And this Saints fan asked him a question.
Our free agent now. Would you ever consider playing for the Saints and making us great again? Because, you know.
No. That's the answer.
That's the answer.
All right, next question.
It's no. No, I've played there a couple times, but no. The answer is no. I'm too old. I don't want to live in Louisiana.
Oh!
Sorry.
Apparently, the Saints are 32 of 32 teams going into this season in the NFL. So, I do understand it to a degree, but I don't want to live in Louisiana. The sportsman paradise? The home of the LaBerge? The Golden Nugget? Lake Charles? NOLA? Death Valley? What the hell, man?
Yeah. I didn't know being too old to live in Louisiana was a thing.
I didn't either. Seems like a perfect place to get old. Just slip into a bottle and get gambling.
Yeah, I was gonna say, wake up, have some hurricanes.
Yeah.
The drink.
Go on the swamps and stuff, you know?
Chill out.
Hell yeah. I wonder if the next podcast appearance that Aaron Rodgers does, if he apologizes to Louisiana.
He did say sorry at the end of that clip.
He did?
That's not a full apology.
But I mean, man.
He did say the word sorry.
That was pretty vicious towards Louisiana. More from Aaron Rodgers, and I think he should have to apologize for just subjecting us to this crap.
Would you retire a Packer if the opportunity arises?
You know, I've thought about that, and I don't understand what the reason for that is. You know, at the same time, I grew up a Niner fan, and most of my favorite players retired as a Niner. You know, Jerry Rice, who went to three other teams, really, he came back and retired as a Niner. So I understand the cool thing about it, but if I didn't do it, would that make a difference in how I'm viewed in the Packers' eyes? When I retire in 4 years, I'm going to go into the Packer Hall of Fame. May or may not get my number retired. Whether they do it or not, that's fine. But in 4 years, I'll be in the Packer Hall of Fame. I'll
if
come
they
back
don't,
and be
that's
a part of the
crazy.
Exactly. And there's a lot of love from me and how I feel about the team. If I do or if I don't, I don't think it should make a difference. I'm not sure yet. If they approach me about it,
shut
I probably
up.
Would.
Just shut up. You're not gonna come back if they ask you. I mean, how desperate are you to be liked by the team that you played for and only won one Super Bowl with, by the way, put on this pedestal that he was? More MVPs than Tom Brady? Seriously? What? Unbelievable. Whatever. He just cares so much about what everyone thinks about him while trying to act like he doesn't care what people think about him. Yeah, I might, but I might not. Oh, it's just the worst.
If they ask me, then I maybe.
I hope whatever team he plays for this season goes 0-17. I really do. I really do. I'm tired of it.
It's
nothing to do with his off-the-field takes. Like, honestly, I agree with some of his off-the-field takes. I'm just every single breath that comes out of his mouth oozes with douche.
I was going to say, though, the funny part is that, like, he puts himself out there, and you'd think that, like, he's going to put himself out there, have some controversial opinions, and half the people are going to love him, half the people are going to hate him. And just the way he delivers, literally everything he says, it just makes everyone just go,
yeah, you're right.
Forget this,
you,
dude.
You could agree with everything
unites
he
America.
Said. Yeah. Agree with everything he said. Oh, this guy sucks. Like, that's the first thought that's going in your head, even if you agree with everything he says.
Because I do agree with the retiring as a whatever, like signing the one-day contract to retire a Texan or whatever. I'm just like, who cares? Like, we all know that J.J. Watt didn't retire a Texan. Like, he He didn't do it. I don't care if they had a special day or whatever. He played his last game as the Arizona Cardinal. No one cares. Like, that doesn't, that should not matter at all. Andre Johnson didn't play his last game as a Texan. Don't care. Like, the idea that's like, I'm going to sign a one-day contract so I retire. What? Who cares? You should have to play if you sign a one-day contract.
I agree. Yeah, you should have to play.
I don't care how old you are. You should have to put on the pads.
Go through one practice or something. No red jersey.
Active roster. You have to be one of the 45 that dress.
Yeah, he should have to be like
Case Keenum.
Or Billingsley in the movie Friday Night Lights, Bull in the Ring, or Riggins hungover.
Yeah.
Off of ayahuasca, tree bark, Bull in the Ring. From the 832, Liberal Paul showing his ass talking about Aaron Rodgers. First off, that's a first. Haven't been called that in a while. Second, listen, I even agree with some of the stuff he says. He still sucks. Like, he just sucks. Yeah. He sucks. Would you want to hang out with that guy? Everything. It's just, I'm better than it. Every single word that comes out of his mouth, I'm better than it. Great quarterback. And maybe behind the scenes a good guy. I don't know. All I know is, my judgment of him is based entirely off of his delivery. And his delivery sucks. It sucks. And the only way that I'd put up with it is if he was paying all of the bills. If he was paying the bills, I'd be his best friend. He could buy me off, for sure. Again, I am not a rich man. I am not a cultured man. And if Aaron Rodgers is taking me on expensive vacations and stuff like that, oh, I will bite my tongue so hard, it'll bleed. Hell, it might even fall off, and I'll just stop talking altogether. But the way he delivers everything sucks, and he should apologize to all of us for that. Honestly, a little self-reflection would do him good. Maybe change the delivery up, huh? I'll do your PR. I'm very affordable. Also inexperienced.
Hey.
Hasn't start somewhere.
Hasn't stopped Jordan Hudson.
That's true. That's so true. You know what? I think I would be better than Jordan Hudson.
Yeah, you probably would.
Bill Belichick?
A little bit better.
Hey, I got you, bro. Sean Mays behind the glass. I'm Paul Gallant. Paul Gallant Show, ESPN. 975-925. 713-780-3776 to call, to text. YouTube at ESPN Houston. And Twitch at ESPN 975. Buckle up, Rockets fans, because you're in for something big. Though, if this is not paid off, I do want an apology from this person. First, though, let me tell you about my friends at RiseHealth.com. R-I-I-Z-E Health.com. You know what sucks? When your fella stops working the way it's supposed to. I think everyone's had a couple of moments like that, right? Well, you're getting older. You don't want moments like that to happen. You got to special night coming and you're concerned that he ain't going to work, go to risehealth.com. Talk to a board-certified physician for about 5 minutes or so. And guess what? After that board-certified physician talks with you, you're going to be good to go to get something revolutionary, the Rise Reds Max. They are rapid, enhanced, dissolving strips combining sildenafil, tadalafil, and oxytocin. You put it under your tongue. Boom! You're going to be good to go. Dissolves in seconds. Ready to go in 5 minutes. You don't need any food in your stomach, or you don't need to drink water. Like, it's discreet. You can do this real quickly. Just put it under your tongue. Give it a couple of minutes. And, yeah, you're going to be working overtime. And you go to Rise Health, R-I-I-Z-E, health.com. You use promo code 975. You'll get 20% off your first order. It's worth it, guys. 20% off. Rise, R-I-I-Z-E. ZEHealth.com, promo code 975. Your eyes up down there with Rise Health. Go get it today.
ESPN 97.5. It's the Paul Gallant Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
Shams Charania was on the Pat McAfee Show. He is ESPN's lead NBA reporter. Essentially an information trader. I don't think he's very good on TV. But he dropped this big headline on yesterday's show. And if you're a Rockets fan, buckle up. We might be about to have liftoff.
Am I accurate in saying this is going to be an active summer for the NBA?
Pat, this is the most, I think, anticipation team executives have had over an offseason. I think this is going to be the craziest offseason of all of I don't want to say all time. We just came off a trade deadline. We just came off a trade deadline. I think what might have been, it was the craziest of all time. I think this offseason might be the most craziest ever because I think there's so
the
many.
The most craziest most ever.
MCE.
Most craziest ever, dude.
Most craziest ever. Probably grammar police is like it's craziest
no,
ever.
No, you got your point across. It's the most craziest ever.
Because I think what you have right now is you have the parity in the league.
Sucks.
It's so thin right now. Like as far as the thin line of where you can win a championship or you might be falling into the lottery. And I think the ability to go out there and improve your team and get there to championship level, I think that's on the minds of everyone around the league. So how can you elevate your team?
Most craziest ever. Offseason.
I feel like that should be the quote. Most craziest ever.
It should be the most craziest ever. I honestly did not know. I saw the clip. We played the clip. I thought he cleaned it up a little bit better. The guy is just not good on TV. He's just not good on TV. Some of us have the gift. Me. Whether it's on Fox 26 or Channel 11. Or occasionally Channel 2. Or back in the day on Cube 57. I am a TV star. It's fine. Not everybody in the game can do it the way that I do. You know? Shams Charania, he don't have it. And am I jealous of the amount of success that he has by literally licking and kissing agents all over the NBA so that he can get that breaking news report? Yeah, I am. I am. Must be nice to be a kiss ass.
I'm actually not jealous because I know what he has to do.
Oh, yeah. I forgot because Adrian Wojnarowski made it seem like his job was the most difficult thing in the world, as did Adam Schefter.
Yeah.
It's like you professionally kiss ass for first access to information.
I don't want to have to do this.
Hey, Drew Rosenhaus, how's
your
day?
I would do it.
Hey.
Listen, if the money.
David Mulligetta, how's it going?
Now, a lot of people will probably think, Paul, you never shut up and you often share unfiltered thoughts that you should probably keep to yourself, which is true. But again, if you paid me the right amount, I would be such a good boy.
I would love Paul trying to do a TV hit while also trying to like protect sources.
Yeah.
And also like fluff a client where you're like, I don't know. Julius Randle, sure, he only scored 5 points last game in a do-or-die game, but he could opt out and command $40 million a year.
I'll be the biggest Peter Schrager there is. I will fluff everything. I don't understand Peter Schrager.
I was talking to Pete Carroll, and man, he loves this Las Vegas Raiders team.
Yeah, it's like they don't have a quarterback, Pete. What are you talking about? It's stuff like that. He seems like a nice guy. So at the very least, he's got that going. But yeah, I would fluff, but it's going to be the most craziest offseason ever. You excited about that?
I mean, how could you not be excited for the most craziest ever? Now, there was one like a decade ago where the second best player in the league, maybe third best player in the league, joined a 73-9 team that lost in game 7 of the finals.
Yeah.
That happened pretty recently. So.
Also, Luka Doncic just got traded for $3 to the Los Angeles Lakers.
Yeah, so.
And I'm kidding. Anthony Davis is a future Hall of Famer, but you get what I'm saying.
Most craziest ever is a stretch. It's also, again, poor grammar. But I think just it will be a crazy offseason. I'm willing to buy that just by what we know already is like there's going to be some big names on the move from Durant, one of the Celtics guys at least, maybe two of the Celtics core members that won a championship 12 months ago. And then you're going to have you're going to be waiting for Giannis and who knows who else, like another star. Zion's always kind of like maybe could be moved. So I think that there will be craziness, but most craziest evers, I don't know. That's a bit much.
I think what he's hinting at is that the Celtics might break up, that the Timberwolves might break up. Those are two things that just because of the finances, you're going to probably see some moves.
They might just let Julius Randle walk.
Right.
Yeah.
or maybe they try to move Rudy Gobert as well, because that contract, that big extension they gave him, actually makes it a little bit easier for them to move him. It theoretically could be Giannis going elsewhere. It could be LeBron retiring. Like, there's a lot of things that theoretically could happen in this most craziest offseason ever. Here's all I know. For the Rockets, Fred VanVleet is expected to stay, which I like. Also, Bill Simmons, noted Celtics honk, put out a trade that a lot of people liked that wouldn't involve that much to go and get Jaylen Brown. And that trade, pretty interesting. Because this is something where, if you take a look at what they would actually have to give up, it's this. Jaylen Brown and Drew Holiday, which I don't know I want Drew Holiday, for Fred VanVleet, Jabari Smith, Tari Eason, and the 10th overall pick. I mean, I don't know what Drew Holiday is going to be going forward. He was actually rather disappointing in that series for the Celtics against the Knicks. But I'll take Jaylen Brown. And if I don't have to give up Jalen Green or Alperen Şengün or Amen Thompson to get him, why would we say no here?
Yeah, yeah. Really, the taking Drew Holiday is like the... That's what gets you a little bit of a discount on the Jaylen Brown part, where if you're doing the Celtics the, you know, the favor of taking on Drew Holiday, then you get a little bit of a discount on Brown. And for Holiday, like, I agree that he was disappointing, but I think in a smaller kind of role, like, I don't know, he could be a little bit Fred VanVleet-ish, and his job would be easier than Fred's last year because Fred only had Şengün and one game of Jalen Green in the Warriors series. And this hypothetical Rockets team after this trade would have Şengün, Jalen Green, and Jaylen Brown helping out a point guard who's probably a little overstretched in what he's having to do.
I'm with you there. I think the only holdup is Eason. I don't know if it's for me as much as it's for the Rockets.
Yeah. I mean, you know, you're going to have to trade somebody. You know, you're going to have to trade somebody you like.
And I listen, I think Tari Eason has a lot of potential, and Ime Udoka has obviously compared him to Kawhi Leonard. He also was as bad as Jalen Green in that series. I thought he really struggled. It was sloppy, and I get that he's going through a lot. I know his dad passed away, and that his mom is perhaps writing checks that he can't cash against the Golden State Warriors, which adds a little extra pressure. But I would be willing to move on from Tari Eason. This is the real question is, to what you're saying, Sean, 100%, they're going to have to move on from somebody at some point. Do they know that? Or do they think that they're just going to continue on this path of, no, we're only going to give you crap. And listen, it's possible because Rafael Stone is a Daryl Morey disciple. Like he was down the hall from him. I think he was unqualified when he got the gig. To his credit, he's done a pretty good job as GM, to the point where I'm even willing to extend an olive branch, even if he's really being insufferable when being asked about like lineups with Jalen Green on the court being worse for the Rockets. Like I'm willing to extend the olive branch, but I wonder if he thinks that like he has to win every single trade in the same way that Daryl Morey did. Yeah. And if he's capable of making deals like that, I can't even possibly lose. I can't even set myself up for losing.
Yeah. I don't want, you know, it's the whole, you see it with Tyrese Halliburton a little bit. He's kind of an example of this, is the, I don't want to trade a Halliburton for a Sabonis because I don't want, you know, what, 3-4 years after a trade to look like a moron. Mm-hmm. And like the now fired Sacramento GM. Now, man, that now fired Sacramento GM made a lot of other bad decisions, but
I forgot about that one, though. Good God.
Yeah, but that's the fear when you're trading one of these young guys. I would say the good thing with the Rockets is that they have enough of a young core to where they don't, if they roll, you know, if they run things back with, let's just say, all the young guys, maybe they have to make some moves around the edges. But if they roll things back with Şengün, Green, Smith, Eason, Thompson, that's fine. Like that is fine to say, hey, we believe in continuity, whatever. That is like a believable path to go down and something that's pretty easy to sell, that will make it in some ways easier to make to negotiate in a star trade, because you have the ability to be like, no thanks, we're good. We're the 2 seed last year. Hang up. But it also makes things harder because you do value all these guys because they're pretty good.
Yeah. Very interesting to see what will happen in the most craziest offseason in NBA history, per Shams Charani. That's Sean Mays behind the glass. I'm Paul Gallant. He said it. We use generally.
We're quoting him.
We're quoting him. Can we judge? Because I would say grammatically I'm often probably as bad. Whatever. I'm entertaining when I talk. Shams, you got to work on the delivery. Because if the delivery is good enough, you can just talk and say complete gibberish. But if you have that dramatic voice, it adds layers to what you're saying. Anyway, up next, more details about Stephon Diggs and his love boat that he was on. Once a Viking, always a Viking, huh? And on top of that, Texans OTAs kicked off today. Anything interesting happen? Well, stick around and find out as the quest for a championship starts today.
ESPN 97.5.